Welcome back to Growing With The Flow. Happy Monday if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. And I hope you're doing well. Sending you lots of love. Thanks for tuning in. And got kind of a good, I think this is hopefully going to be a good episode today. I'm doing one of my more planned out episodes. I'm trying to do a mix of just chatty, catch up, talking about life episodes, and also episodes about a specific topic, which is really important to me. And yeah, I originally thought I would make the whole podcast like these more serious sit down specific topic episodes, but as I've kind of gotten into it, I feel like it doesn't really make sense to do that because I just have stuff on my mind that comes up out of nowhere. And then I don't know, I don't want to be limited by always doing these types of episodes, but this is definitely one that I've wanted to do for a while. And even before I started the podcast, I knew I wanted to do an episode on this topic. So hopefully it's a good one. How was my week? How was your week, guys? Let me know. Send me a DM. Comment on the podcast Instagram. I want to know. So I feel like I'm very settled into my new flat now. As I am recording this, I've lived here for exactly 2 weeks. And yeah, it feels really good. I think the space just feels so me, so us. And I know I've said it before, but having a living room is a game changer. I literally love it. It's such a luxury and I'm so appreciative of it. Every day when I'm journaling, I write like my gratitudes and I'm always, always grateful that we have a living room. So yeah, I just feel so settled into the flat. When I got here, I definitely had a bit of a mental health breakdown, but now I just feel so at peace and everything is, yeah, I just feel good. I feel refreshed. I'm quite motivated at the moment. I kind of feel like all my ducks are in order and life is making sense a bit. Unless I think about the future too much, then I get stressed because I don't know when I'm going to get to go home, when I'm going to get to see Joe again. Like, all of that is a bit of a mess. But if I just look at each day, one day at a time, I'm actually doing pretty good. It actually snowed yesterday or like 2 days ago overnight. And yesterday we woke up to a literal winter wonderland and it was so pretty and I was just so excited. I think what lockdown has done to me is my standard for something that is exciting is so incredibly low that the fact that it snowed, which is something that is reasonably exciting anyway, but now it was just so elevated. Like, because I knew it was snowing at night, I kept getting up in, like, when I was going to bed to check if it was still snowing. And when I woke up, I literally jumped out of bed, looked out the window to see what it was like because I was so excited. And then we went on a walk at, like, 8 a.m. and just enjoyed the snow before too many people came out and it all melted and looked gross and stuff. So, yeah, that was a real highlight to my week. And it was so fun. The meadows looked beautiful. I've never seen Edinburgh in thick snow. I think it snowed in second year, but like a very thin layer, not very much. And today, yesterday, proper snow, and I think it might snow again. So yeah, that was really fun. And we just saw loads of like kids playing in the snow and dogs running around in it, and it just made me happy. So enjoying that. And I just think in general my mental health is so much better now than it was like 2 weeks ago. Change is hard for everyone. I guess some people like it, but I feel like nobody finds it easy. Moving back here was kind of like a big thing, but we're all settled in now and I feel really good. We're getting our Wi-Fi today. I haven't had Wi-Fi in the flat this whole time. I've just been using like the library Wi-Fi to upload videos and yeah, there's like a hotel near the flat and I've been basically like living off their Wi-Fi, but it's kind of rubbish because we're quite far away from the hotel, so I can't rely on it. And it's just going to be nice after today to have the Wi-Fi actually fitted and just, yeah, it's just going to feel like a proper home once we have that because I can do my work here and it's just going to be really good. I think something else that has contributed to my better mental health has been the amount of walking I've been doing. I've been getting like over 10,000 steps almost every single day, which I don't know, it's not like me. I'd say my average for December, I had a little look, was like 5,000. Average for January is at like 9,000, and I wasn't even in Edinburgh for the first week. So yeah, I've been walking a lot, and it's so much easier when you're at uni because like I'll just walk 10 minutes to do a food shop and then walk back. And when you're walking around the shop, that takes steps as well. Like, I just feel like you're always kind of walking around. I go on like quite a big walk every day. It's just a good time and I feel really good for it. I know it's so hard. Like, I wouldn't say aim for a certain number of steps because these monetary number things never really, I feel like they're never healthy, but I just really recommend trying to get out every day and get some fresh air, have a walk. I've also been eating quite well, as in I've not been eating specifically like healthily, but all my meals I've been putting a lot of effort into. And there's something about putting effort into your food that tells your brain that like you deserve effort and you deserve like something really nourishing and special and healthy, and just your body deserves that. And I feel like it kind of tricks me into thinking that like I'm worthy, and it's kind of deep, but obviously everyone is, I am, but sometimes you forget that. And when I put loads of effort into my food, I always feel that. Whereas when I'm just slapping something together in 5 minutes, I always can leave you feeling a bit like you don't matter, or that it doesn't really, who cares what you're eating, you know? I'm looking out the window as I'm recording this and there's such a pretty building opposite us and I'm getting distracted, but back to my week. I think that's kind of it. Oh, I've been feeling a bit of guilt about my uni courses. So how, thing is, every semester this happens, the first few weeks are just more chill, always. Like, it's always more chill because you have to like do your lectures, do your tutorials, prepare for the tutorials, do some readings, you know how it is. But there's no like essays yet, and essays or projects or yeah, that sort of thing always comes like mid-semester, and the beginning of the semester is always a bit more chill. And I feel so guilty about the fact that I'm not like doing uni work all day. And in my head, I always have this thing telling me that like everybody else is doing so much uni work. And sometimes I even feel guilty about like doing YouTube and like the podcast and stuff, because obviously it takes up quite a lot of my time. And I always feel guilty that I'm not putting that time into uni, when I know realistically I wouldn't, even if I had it as free time. I just wouldn't spend more time doing uni because like I feel like I put in as much effort as I'm happy to. Yeah, I feel a bit guilty, and I know I should just be enjoying this time, because in a couple weeks or in a month from now, I will be stressed and, you know, drowning in deadlines, and I'm gonna wish that I enjoyed every second of this. And I think this is kind of like a toxic personality flaw, because when I'm drowning in loads of work, I'm always like, Naina, come on, you need to look after yourself better, like you need to take rest, you need to take breaks. And then now that I have time for rest and breaks, I'm like, Naina, you need to work harder, you're not doing enough, come on, like get it together. Just need to be kinder to myself. Like, life comes in seasons and everything comes in like ebbs and flows. Not all the time are you going to be working really hard, and not all the time are you going to be, you know, having loads of chill time. You just need to take each day as it is. So funny thing that happened the other day, me and Neve were on a walk, and then we went past M&S, and I have not been to M&S. Like, I would never go there, ever. I would never, like, it's not even close, and I would never buy anything there because it's so expensive and just not worth it for me. But we went past, and I remembered that I'd seen a couple things on, I follow kind of a lot of Instagram pages that show like fun vegan products that are coming out, like new vegan things. And I remember seeing a couple vegan things that M&S have started doing. So I was like, okay, I can justify going in, getting a few bits just because they're only in this shop and not letting myself buy anything else. Plus, I love food shopping, so just looking around M&S for 20, 30 minutes was the highlight of my week. I don't know, I was just really enjoying myself. All the music playing was so good. And then suddenly Willow by Taylor Swift, my favorite song on the new album, came on. And you're probably being like, come on, Naina, that's not deep. That's not a sign from God or anything, you know? But part of me was like, wow, like this is my favorite song. And sometimes I feel like the universe sends you signs that are like, you're exactly where you're meant to be. And I don't know why I felt it in that moment, because that isn't, you know, it's not that much of a coincidence. Like, it's a new album, Taylor Swift's a popular artist. I was just like, wow, like this is the universe telling me that I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. And you're probably like, no, it wasn't, but anything that makes me happy at this point. my two wins for the week. First one, I'm uploading two videos this week, so the week before you're listening to this, which is very impressive. I never do that because it takes me ages to edit. I took 2 weeks off of YouTube and uploading, and I just felt like I owed it to myself to kind of come back with a bit more of a bang and just do a bit more for a week, especially since it's the beginning of the semester and I'm chill, I have the time. So yeah, uploaded two videos this week, pretty fun ones if I do say so myself, and I'm really happy with them. So that's one win. And then my second win is that we're getting Wi-Fi, thank fucking god. Like, I don't know how much longer I can go without it. My gratitude number one is the snow, because it really did give us something to do, something to be excited about, and it kind of felt like a normal day. Like, on a normal day, you wake up and it's snowy, you go out on a walk, you see what's going on, it's so exciting. Just for that morning, it was a normal day and I really enjoyed it. And then other gratitude is that I walked past a plant sale this week. I can't remember, maybe it was actually at the weekend, but it was really good. Dahlia, one of my favorite shops in Edinburgh, it's like a plant shop, is, I believe they're moving to a different location. And I walked past and I was just like, could go for a new plant. They were doing like a counter at the front. You didn't get to go into the shop. Obviously, all the shops are closed at the moment, it's lockdown, but it was kind of like a takeaway situation. So everything was like in the window. You just literally tell them like, I want that one, and they go get it for you. And I got a cute little plant. It's on my desk. It was really cheap for what it is. And they also had some like ceramics. So I got a little marble bowl. And that's really cute. That was only literally £2. So very grateful that I walked past that sale. So some thoughts for the week. Find those moments you feel fully present. Or those moments where you just aren't thinking about anything. Make them happen regularly. I think at the moment it's so hard to just think about nothing and enjoy a moment. For me, yoga really helps me with this. I find by the end of even just the 10-minute yoga, I'm really just thinking about nothing. And it's such a sigh of relief. Like, I am so tired and just cannot be alone with my thoughts, and I'm just tired of thinking, and I bet a lot of you are feeling that as well. So yeah, find those moments where you feel fully present. I was talking about my sunrise walk last week. That was an amazing one, feeling present. I'll walk in the snow, even like that trip to M&S, you know, kind of random. But in that moment, I was so excited by seeing all the new foods, and I never ever go to M&S, so everything was very exciting. And you probably don't get excited by supermarkets in the same way that I do, but find your own thing. And yeah, try and just fit in those things that make you think about nothing or make you so in the moment that you can't think about anything else. And I think those moments kind of are few and far between at the moment, but if you find yourself feeling like that, make a mental note and remember to do that thing again. The topic for the week is is it a heavy one? Kind of a big one. So I titled this podcast, But Where Are You Really From? And we're going to be talking about my experiences growing up mixed race. Now, I have done a YouTube video on this, and I really don't want to repeat that video because I've already done that. I've already, you know, maybe a lot of you have already watched that. Maybe you haven't. So this episode, that episode I talked a lot about like microaggressions, and it was more about being mixed race, I guess, as opposed to me. And this podcast, I'm going to talk about like my experiences and just what it has been like for me, and sort of some struggles / some amazing, exciting, great things that it comes with, and just chat about it. I feel like it's a big part of who I am, obviously. Yeah, I always get scared to talk about this sort of thing because I think with anything where you're talking about something that is hard for you or you've like struggled with, people are always ready to tell you that, you know, other people have it worse, and that is always going to be true. I have a very privileged, lucky, blessed life. I'm extremely, extremely grateful for that. I don't want like pity. I don't deserve pity. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say that, but I just don't want this episode to be like a pity party. I get scared to talk about this stuff because I feel like people are going to be like, oh, stop complaining. Why are you always, you know, focusing on yourself? There's so many bigger issues in the world. And I agree wholeheartedly that there is so much worse going on. Like, this is the least of anyone's problems. I just think it's still important to talk about these things. And, you know, last week I told a story of me going to the hospital and getting an earring removed from my ear, you know. That wasn't helping anyone. That was not the hardest thing that anyone's ever gone through. But it was just an interesting thing to say. And I hope that this episode's going to be interesting just in the same way. Please don't take it too deeply. I'm not saying that I have the worst life in the world or anywhere close. I just want to talk about, like, my experiences and have an open chat about it. I know probably a lot of you listening are also mixed race, and I got a lot of questions or, like, comments on that video saying that it was nice to, like, hear from somebody else, because I guess you don't always feel heard by other people and it's nice to relate to people. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm just a little disclaimer there. My background, I guess I'll just say this really quickly. My dad is Indian. He was born in the UK. My ba, so that's my dad's mum, immigrated to England, I think, when she was like 19, which I think about now and I'm like, wow, how impressive. Like, that's really, like, big moves from her. Yeah, so she came on her own. She was the one that wanted to come, and then her husband joined her, like, I think a couple years later. I'm not really sure on the details of that. And yeah, she moved to Walsall in Birmingham. It's like a little area in Birmingham, and that's where my dad grew up. And he went to uni. He was, like, I think the first person in his family to go to uni. After uni, he wanted to live in London to, like, pursue his career. And he moved in with a flatmate. And I think it was, like, his friend's mum lived in London, and he just lived, like, on the sofa or something. And yeah, lived in London, got a good job, you know, worked his way up. He met my mum a few years after that. And yeah, that's how I came to be. I guess my childhood was, like, a mix of both cultures, obviously. So we live in London, and my Indian family still live in Walsall in Birmingham. And we would see them occasionally, but obviously not every weekend or something. And I think that shaped the whole thing quite a lot, because we weren't really around them that much. And my mum made the best effort to show us Indian culture and share with us, like, what it's all about, show us who we are. But I feel like it must have been so difficult for her. My dad worked away a lot. Like, he would go away for work for, like, 2 week periods at a time, and she felt like she obviously wanted to show us, like, our culture and stuff, but it's hard because she was learning about it at the same time and she hasn't grown up in that world, and I guess very complicated. I don't really know, like, at what point I thought about it consciously. I don't think I really even thought about the fact that I'm, like, mixed race until it sounds weird, but until I was probably, like, 19, I would just kind of, like, not think about it. But now I look back in retrospect and it affected me so much, like, so many things I would think about subconsciously. It's interesting because I feel like I wish I had been, like, more open to the idea of talking about it and, like, thinking about it more closely, because I feel like a lot of the things I, like, struggled with as a kid relate to it. I'm really lucky. I have never experienced, like, you know, very bad racism. My dad has definitely been through that, and it's, like, hard obviously hearing those stories of things that have happened to him, like, at work or in a pub. Once he was, like, chased down the road and they were shouting. I don't know what, like, on the podcast, can I say whatever I want? Does anybody know? Like, can I say bad words? No, obviously, like, I would swear on the podcast, but I don't want to say, like, racial derogatory terms on the podcast. But okay, I'll just say that. So there were people chasing him down the road saying racial derogatory terms, and things like that have never happened to me, thank God. Once my mum was in the park with me when I was really little, and like I said, like, my dad worked away a lot, so it was just me and my mum a lot, and she's obviously white, and this man came up to her and was like, your child looks like a insert racial derogatory term, you need to be more careful, like, put on more sun cream, and all of this kind of just being like, basically saying that because I was, like, tanned compared to her, that she wasn't looking after me, and that it was a bad thing that I looked like I wasn't white. And I feel like now my mum is so like thick skinned. Like she was like, oh, I always knew that these people were just idiots. But if that happened to me, I'd probably be crying in the park. So I just thought that was kind of like an interesting take on it. Like my mum obviously has been, I guess, through quite a lot with us because of the fact that she's white and we're not, like, I don't know. I think it's confusing one. She was also at the doctor's once with my brother, and the nurse was like to her, like, oh, you need to put on like more sun cream, like you need to look after his skin better. You're not like, he's too like dark, basically. And firstly, our names are literally Indian names, so I don't know why this nurse didn't clock, but just things like that, I think kind of happened often when we were really young, especially because we were just with my mum, and people always assume that anyone would like have kids with somebody of their race. I guess that's kind of the norm. I do feel bad for my mum because I feel like things like that were probably difficult for her. I'm just kind of going through things I remember from my childhood right now, and I don't have loads and loads of like bad things, luckily, but another one is that there was this boy in primary school who would always mock Indian people and make jokes about like the accent and about India and stuff, which now looking back, is kind of confusing, and I don't know why he did it. I don't know if he wanted to be cool. He wasn't white either, so obviously you can be racist within, like, between ethnicities that aren't white, but it just made it like even more confusing, I guess. And yeah, like he would always mock like Indian culture and stuff, and I would just kind of like go along with it and be like, haha, yeah, so funny. And obviously I was really young, like literally like 10 years old, so I wasn't gonna say anything, but it's just weird thinking about that now, because I wonder if that made me like contribute to the fact that I didn't, you know, want to be Indian. I wanted to just be like everybody else. I always get told like, oh, you look Spanish, where are you from? And in the video that I did, I spoke a bit about how asking people where they're from can be a little bit harmful, and a lot of comments were like, oh, but I'm just interested and I want to celebrate everybody's cultures. How can I do that if I don't ask people where they're from? And I totally understand that. I think some of what I said in the video was probably like taken too figuratively. And when I said like I don't want people to like ask me where I'm from, I mean it in a way of like, I don't want people to ask me that as the first thing they say to me. I was in Camden in the summer, and this boy literally came up to me. He was like kind of looking over at me. I was like, oh god, here we go. Like, I need to like, how do I like drop him? Like, he started approaching me. I was with Rihanna, thank god it wasn't on my own. And he was like, hey, like, where are you from? And I was like, why is this the opening line? Like, why does it matter where I'm from? I totally understand like curiosity when you've been friends with someone for a little bit, or you've met somebody and hung out a couple times and you just want to know like more about who they are. But like, there's no justification for it being the very first thing somebody says to you. I remember I had a job last summer of 2019. One of my colleagues, she was a lot older, I think she was probably like 40 something, she was like to me like, oh, where are you from? And I was like, I said the area that I lived in, because I was like, maybe this is what she means, like we're at work, maybe she just means like, where do you live kind of thing. This is another thing, is that when people ask where you're from, I never know, like, do they mean where I'm, like where I live at home, where like my parents are from, like, you know, it's just all confusing. So I told her like the area that I live in, and she was like, oh, but like where are your parents from? And then I was kind of like, well, technically my dad's from Birmingham and my mum's from Windsor, but I knew what she meant, so I just gave her like what she wanted. But just things like that, it's like literally she had never met me, and she like, this was our first ever conversation, and I just find it kind of annoying. And I get the curiosity and like the want to like celebrate other people's cultures, and I'm not in any way saying that it's bad to ask, but I just find, especially for me as somebody who's like struggled, I guess, with this sort of thing, you never know what like it's going to provoke in someone, you know. Maybe they've been like racially abused a lot, and luckily I haven't, but just asking people about their race in the very get-go of meeting them could be like upsetting, you know. So I think it's just something to be careful around. And I 100% like, I'm very open to talk about it now, but like a couple years ago I wouldn't have wanted you to ask. So I don't know. It's confusing. I hear often about people talking about how like mixed race babies are so cute. And I saw a tweet like a couple weeks ago of, it was like a retweet of some pictures of like some mixed race kids. And it was captioned like, if my kids don't look like this, like all of this like about mixed race babies. And I just think the fetishization of mixed babies is gone way too far. And it is typically with mixed like black, white, rather than like what I am, I guess. But you kind of forget about all the stuff that comes with it. Like, I'm going to talk a little bit about that stuff. But when you say, oh, it's so cute, you know, it's like you're forgetting that like it's kind of hard. And like there's things are going to happen and things are going to be like upsetting and distressing for you. And, you know, it's not just about like the fact that maybe those kids are cute. This episode is kind of a mess. I haven't, like, I've written down like things I want to say, but I haven't got like any structure to it. Growing up mixed race, I loved seeing two different cultures. I love Indian food. It's like my favorite thing. Every time we'd go to my bar's house, I literally, as a kid, I would like not eat breakfast so I could eat as much as I wanted for lunch, just because I loved the food so much. And I loved the outfits. I would wear like saris and Indian clothes a lot as a kid, just like generally. I have been to India. I've only been once. It's quite far away and it's expensive to like fly all that way. It's kind of far. I don't really have much family there anymore, so that isn't really like a need to go, and I would love to go more. I sometimes get comments and DMs like, why do you not like get in touch with your Indian heritage more? Like, why haven't you been to India? Like, why are you ashamed of it? And things like that. And I just think like, leave me be. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to go to India more, but it's expensive. Like, flights are a lot of money and it's a long way away. It's hard to find a time where like my whole family can go. Obviously we're not traveling anywhere right now. So yeah, all of those things, it's just confusing. And I would love to go. I really want to go on a big trip when I graduate and go to loads of different places, because I went when I was 8 years old. I don't remember it that well, and I would just love to see it in like more depth. If you're wondering, I'm from the Gujarat, which is it a state or a region, an area within India, and quite a lot of people who I know like at home are also from that area, so that's pretty cool. I loved seeing like the two different cultures. Like, it was so special and just interesting to me and so cool. But I think it did give me like quite the identity crisis. I never knew who I was, you know, like how am I meant to fit in when everywhere I go, it's like everyone else is different. When I was, you know, with my Indian family, I always felt like I wasn't Indian enough. Most of them speak Gujarati. I don't, because my dad worked away a lot. We didn't live near them and my mum doesn't speak it. She tried to learn, but it's hard to just learn a language out of nowhere. So I'd never felt like Indian enough for them, I guess. And I still feel like that now. And it's not anything that they've done or anything personal, but I just think when you hang out with people, you're always going to notice your differences. And sometimes it is weird knowing that like the way we were raised is probably quite different to the way like my cousins were raised, for example. I spent the first probably like 18 years of my life wishing I was white and just wishing that I could blend into the background. I didn't want any attention. I know it sounds kind of silly because I have like a whole YouTube channel and a podcast and stuff, but I don't really like being the center of attention, especially like in person. So in school I would cry all the time, and I'm not talking when I was little, I'm talking literally like secondary school and sixth form. I would cry kind of a lot because I just hated when like the teacher would ask you something and you were the center of attention and everyone's kind of looking at you. Like, that pressure is just too much for me. And whenever, you know, race or topics like that came up, I always just wanted to blend into the background. I didn't want anyone to, you know, notice me. And yeah, even when we would have parents' evening and stuff, I would always hope that my mum would be the one to come with me, because then everyone would know that I have a white mum. I don't know, I just thought that everyone would like me more, or I would just be more normal if I had a white mum. And it's just so twisted to think like that. But I think when you're little, all you want is to just fit in and be like everybody else. You don't want, well, I didn't want to like stand out and be different and like weird, quote unquote. And I literally spent like the first 18 years of my life, maybe more, wishing I was white and just not wanting to be who I was, which was really hard, I think. And I didn't really consciously think about it, but I can think of so many instances, like that parents evening thing, where I would just want to blend into the background and, you know, be like everyone else. Obviously, I grew up in London, which is one of the most diverse cities in the world, and I was so lucky to have people of all different races in my classes, in school, especially in primary school. Like, being white in my primary school was like, you were in the minority. Most people were like people of color, and that was, I think, really amazing for me to have grown up that way, because I, you know, I always wanted to be white and be normal, but it wasn't like I was the only non-white kid in the class, which I think would be so hard. And I know a lot of people, probably like a lot of you listening, have been through that, and like my heart goes out to you, because I just can't imagine like how hard that would have been. Yeah, even though I was surrounded by so many other cultures and other races, I always felt like being white was still like the status quo, the norm. I felt like everybody around me who was non-white also wanted to be white and wanted to be just like normal. And I think there was a lot of like mocking and joking in school, different races and stereotypes and things like that. And it just makes you feel like you don't want to be part of, you know, that race, because everyone's talking a certain way. And when you're young, like, you don't know to think that those people are wrong. You just see people mocking and you think, oh, I don't want to be mocked. Whereas now I would be like, what the fuck, like, what are you saying? Like, if I didn't say something to them, I would at least go home knowing that like they're a bad person, I don't want to be friends with them. And when you're younger, you just want people to like you, you just want to fit in. And I know, again, that so many other people will have had that so much worse. Something I always kind of worry or think about is that I am still so privileged. Like, I have an amazing family who love me. I never had to worry about money growing up. I live in London, like an amazing city. I have an amazing life and I'm really lucky. And I have a white mum, like that makes me more privileged and lucky. And I guess I can pass as white or pass as like European. I don't know, it's kind of hard to see, because some people are like, no, I can so tell that you're Indian. And some people are like, no, like, it's obvious that you could definitely get away with saying you're white. Obviously, being white passing is a privilege, because you kind of miss out on like some of the like microaggressions, racism, etc. And I don't know if I'm white passing, I think in like some ways, but even if I'm not, the fact that I have a white mum's definitely given me like privilege. And sometimes it's hard to talk about this stuff or feel upset, because I know that I have everything in life so much better than so many other people. But I think it's like that analogy, if you like break your leg, you've still broken your leg, even if other people have, you know, broken their back or are about to die, you know, you've still broken your leg. A very confusing sort of topic. And something I worry about also is like about my kids. And I know this feels such a silly thing to worry about, because I I'm only 20 years old. I definitely don't want kids anytime soon. I just sometimes think about the fact that like they won't be as Indian as I am, and it will be hard for me to show them like Indian culture, because that's only, I guess, half of who I am. I don't know if that's making any sense, but sometimes like no matter who, like if you're mixed race, unless you like have children with someone who is the same mix as you, you're gonna be quite racially different from your kids. I guess that's like something that's hard. Like I always think like that must be weird for my mum that she has these little Indian kids, and even for my dad knowing that his kids are like half white. I just think it's kind of a difficult concept. And you know, when you're a family, you will feel like unified, and that's, I guess, your one place where you always feel like you belong. And it can be hard when you don't feel like you belong like in your family, and knowing that mum's parents are obviously like white and old and I guess kind of traditional. I don't know. And then my Indian family are like mainly immigrants, and you know, have had such a different life, and knowing that all of that like is who you are is kind of confusing. And just a weird situation. So when I came to uni, was surrounded by so many more white people than I've ever been surrounded by. Best friend, Rihanna, been best friends since we were like 11. She's Indian, and like when I would go to our house, we'd have Indian food and we'd all like be talking about, I don't know, it's just like we would always get each other in that way, I guess. And she's from the Gujarat as well, so like our families are so similar and it's just cool. And then coming to uni, I was like, everyone is white. Like there's quite a lot of international students at Edinburgh, but I wouldn't say anywhere near what I had experienced like growing up in London and my life in London. And that's another thing about having kids, actually. I always think like, oh, maybe I'd want to live outside of London, like maybe I'd even want to have kids like in Edinburgh or something. But I think, I don't know if I would be able to follow through with it, because I just think one of the best parts, or like the biggest parts of my childhood that have really shaped me into who I am, is that I grew up in such a multiracial society and with classes full of people from all different races, and I saw so many different sides to the world. And Edinburgh, for example, like you wouldn't get that. And sometimes I think like, oh, I'll just have to stay in London because I don't want them to grow up, you know, surrounded only by one culture. And I know that that doesn't like make you racist or make you and like anything like that at all, but I still think that there's so much value in the way that I grew up, and I want to give that to my kids. Yeah, so when I came to uni, loads of white people, and for the first time ever I felt a bit like weird in that I was not white. Like I'd always felt like that, but it was different being surrounded by everybody else being white. And a lot of my friends at uni have grown up in like towns in Scotland and stuff, and there was no people of colour at their school, like no one. And yeah, I think it's just an interesting concept. Like obviously the like Black Lives Matter movement gained a lot of traction in 2020, and a lot of people were educating themselves and learning about racism, which is amazing. And I learned a lot as well. I watched a lot of documentaries, and I'm still doing work now to educate myself about the Black experience that so many people like struggle with. And yeah, but I think it's interesting how that for a lot of people was kind of their first insight into racism and seeing racism, like I guess thinking about how it could be to be non-white. And part of me was just screaming like, oh, like I've been feeling this way for years, like my whole life, like, and you're just learning about it now. I don't know, it's just a really weird concept. And sometimes I'm like jealous of people who haven't gone through this sort of thing, because it's, I just always think like, oh, it'd be so easy. But I love being half Indian, like it's one of my favorite things about myself, and no part of me would change it for the world. But there are things that have been difficult about it, and I also know that so many other people have it worse, and I know I'm going to keep saying that because it's just drilled into me. But yeah, sometimes it's easy to be jealous of people who haven't like gone through anything like that. And especially at uni, like everyone I guess like didn't really think about race that much. If you live in like a white town, you go to a white school, it like you wouldn't really need to think about it that much. Whereas I grew up like mixed race in a multicultural city, and part of me sometimes is a bit like, oh, I wish that like I just hadn't had to think about this. It's not productive to think like that. And also everybody has their own struggles and their own issues, you know, nobody has the perfect life. You know, everyone's got their own problems, their own battles that they're facing. Sometimes seeing people that have not had to face your battles makes you feel a bit like, oh, I just wish I didn't have to do this. But it's so worth it. Any of you listening that are non-white, like, it's so cool that we have all these like ancestors and heritage and culture to explore, and I love it. So yeah, don't feel weird. If anyone listening is like in school and feels weird, don't feel weird. Like, I promise you, like, even if you don't love it now, I do genuinely think that you will at some point. When I was younger, I actually did Indian dance, one of my mum's many attempts to show me Indian culture. And she would always like come pick me up at the end. And every time I was like, oh, let's leave. Like, I hated the fact that I had a white mum when I was there, because everyone else was like fully Indian. And I would always be like, oh, I hope my dad's picking me up today. And it's just interesting seeing like the flip side of the parents' evening situation, where I hope that my mum was there, because I think no matter what situation you're in, you just want to be like everybody else. And I always think like, oh, I'd love my kids to do Indian dance. Like, I found it really fun and it was like so cool. We got to perform at loads of different, I performed in Trafalgar Square, Diwali one year. I'm trying to remember, I was probably like 7 or 8. And there's this cool video of us, like, it's literally like so many people there in the middle of Trafalgar Square and we're doing our Indian dance. Like, it's really cool. But yeah, it's just interesting seeing the flip side where even then I wanted to be Indian fully, you know? And I think that's the thing about being mixed race, is that you never win. Like, you're never in a situation where everyone's mixed race and you can finally just feel like everyone's like you. Yeah, but like I was saying, I would love my kids to do Indian dance, but then I'm like, oh, but they would be like the whitest kids there. I don't know, it's just confusing. Because I wouldn't want them to feel different in that way. And it's like the most confusing thing. And I think the past probably year, I've worked through so much of it and like realized so many things that I hadn't, like I was doing subconsciously, but not thinking through. And I feel like I've worked through so much of it that now I'm in such a different place to even a year ago and even 2 years ago, etc. And hopefully in 5 years, I'm just going to be in such a great place that like I don't worry about this stuff anymore and that I'm kind of over the trauma of it. And I know again that it's barely even trauma, it's not like anything hard, but you know, everyone struggles with things differently. And you may also be mixed race and be like, well, I didn't feel like that at all, I always felt cool and different and I loved it. And that's so fair. Like, if you felt like that, that's amazing. Like, that's so good. And everyone experiences things differently. I got a book for Christmas called British, and it's about like race in the UK and sort of why, you know, like I'm British, my parents are British, my friends are British, but why do people keep asking like where you're from, and like the obsession that we have here with, you know, where are people from, like their backgrounds and stuff, which I think is an interesting concept. So I'm really excited to read that and I'll update you if it's good, because I think it's the kind of book that would be really helpful for a lot of people to read. I'm trying to think if I have anything else I've read or watched that has helped me. I actually can't think of anything. Most things are about being non-white but not being mixed race, which is also helpful and so important for us to educate ourselves about. Not like, I guess, unique to like the experience that I've had. But if you, what would actually be amazing if you have any resources or like things you've seen that might be within this topic, if you like commented them on the podcast Insta, because I'll post them on my story and stuff and we can all have a little peruse if you wanted to. So I feel like that episode is like the biggest brain dump of things that I've felt over my 20 years on this planet. I kind of wish now that I've like maybe structured it better, but I don't know, maybe, because thing is, I feel like I've come to realize so many things even in the last year, like I said, and maybe in a year there'll be so many more things that I feel like I'm realizing. So maybe I'll do a part two at some point when there's more to talk about. For now, I feel like that's kind of everything that I have to say on the matter. It's a very complicated topic. This episode doesn't necessarily have like a big takeaway, I guess, just to be confident in who you are. And yeah, being different is not a bad thing at all. Everyone's different in their own special way. Yeah, don't ever wish that you were somebody else. It saddens me so much that I spent so many years wishing I was not who I am, and instead I could have been like celebrating and enjoying all the unique things about me that are so amazing and special. Yeah, it makes me sad sometimes thinking about the fact that that was my experience. And you know, I hope we change the world for better. I hope that people, you know, and I hope maybe my kids don't feel like that. I hope your kids don't. I hope the world changes for better and we've come a long way, I guess, but so far left to go, and so incredibly far for like other people. I obviously haven't had like the worst experiences at all, so my heart goes out to any of you that have experienced so much worse things, because I know sadly like a lot of you will have done. And yeah, it's a very sad topic, but it's also exciting in that it's amazing to celebrate like who we all are. So yeah, I hope that was vaguely interesting. I don't really know, like I said, I don't really know what the point of this was, but just get some things off my chest. And I guess the point of this podcast is all about growing with the flow and growing up, learning about who you are and who you want to be. And this topic, like being mixed race, is a huge part of who I am now and where I want to be as well. So yeah, I guess it fits. So a little thought for the week coming: make someone smile every day, but remember, you are someone too. How sweet is that? I'm gonna leave it there. Spread love, spread positivity, look after yourself as well, and you can't pour from an empty glass. So yeah, I know life's hard for so many of us right now, including me. Like, mental health still not, you know, at the best it could be, but we got this, and I hope the podcast made you smile. I love you very much. Thanks for tuning in. Have an amazing week, and I'll see you next Monday.